What are the marks of a Christian? Some of you may wonder, am I a Christian? What do I need to do to be about a Christian? And you've asked this question to yourself over and over and over. It's not that hard to become a Christian. You have to follow a few rules and answer a few questions and tell Jesus that you want to be. But first, I want to talk about this a little bit. And if you're a true Christian, it's similar to asking, are you a true car driver? Are you truly married? Are you truly qualified to be graduated from school? These things are all things that you had to complete, just like being a car driver. You go over there and you take the test, you answer the questions, and they give you a license, you're in a car driver. Well, being a Christian is similar to the same thing. It's not like exactly like being a car driver or something like that. And Christianity is not a mere change of opinion. Christianity is not because your temperament's changed. Christianity is because Jesus allows you to become a Christian once you accept Him. And just because you have a conviction or something, that's not being a Christian. We're going to talk about what it really makes to be a Christian. And are you trying to serve God in the right kind of ways? Well, the Bible says, in order to be a Christian, you have to meet some qualifications. They are very easy qualifications. First, you need to understand a few things. Romans 3:23 says, for all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So in God's eyes, we're all sinners and we all need to be forgiven. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of all sinned. And this was because of Adam. Adam sinned, and he caused us to have continuous problems throughout our lives and throughout the history of the world. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's the first key you have as to whether you're a Christian. It says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to admit you're a sinner and ask God to forgive you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So once you admit you're a sinner, you ask God to forgive you, you've taken the first step. You have to be willing to turn from sin. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. If you're willing to turn from sin, the sin that Adam originally put on us, the sin that's in our lives, all kinds of things that are wrong, then God will forgive you. Then what you have to do is, it says, believe that Jesus Christ died for you and was buried and rose from the dead. Romans 10:9 and 10 says, therefore, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And the next thing you need to do is now invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior and fill you with His guidance and Holy Spirit. Billy Graham, a very well-known minister, has this prayer. He says, everyone should pray, and this is the prayer, and then I want you to repeat it. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I now turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and obey you and follow you as my Lord and Savior in my name. Now, after you say that part of the prayer, ask Jesus to help you to be a Christian, help you to find peace with God, and even though you've turned from your sins, you know, some of those are still behind you. Some of us were alcoholics. Some of us smoked cigarettes and were addicted to other actions and habits and stuff like that. Those don't go away instantly normally. I've heard of a few people it happens with, but you have to ask God to help you with that. But when you turn away from those sins, that means you don't want to be connected with those sins anymore. God wants us to be saved from the world. He wants us to be different from the world. He wants us to be loving. Just like it says in the Lord's Prayer, which entitles and includes a lot of things we're supposed to do, He expects us to forgive people. So I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer for you. Some of you may have already heard it. But the way I was taught it was this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You should pray this prayer every day. You should ask God to forgive you for any mistakes you've made that day, because 1 John 1:9 still comes into effect. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You need to ask God to forgive you for what some people call sins of omission. That means things you should have done today and you didn't do. Maybe you should have apologized to one of your kids or to your wife. Maybe you should have stopped and given someone a Bible if you had one to give away and you didn't do it. So ask God to forgive you for any sins of omission. Sins of commission would be, let's say you go out and you buy a can of beer and then you drink it and you go home and you yell at your wife. You need to ask God to forgive you for having that beer in you and making you not follow your normal rules because your mind is confused by the beer and the alcohol, and so you don't follow your normal rules. You feel a little more basic, so you're going to sort of react like a child would, and that's what alcohol and drugs do to you. The Bible says if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if you're constantly drinking and asking God to forgive you, you have to ask yourself, am I just addicted, or is this a habit? And you have to, and maybe they're the same thing. But if you love God, you're going to be turning away from these things. You're going to be turning away from the bondage and the depraved appetites and habits. And you're going to ask for divine grace to help you get away from drinking, tobacco, lying, gossiping, hatred, swearing, desecrating the Sabbath. You shall know that the truth, and the truth will make you free, it says in John 8:32. So you need to read your Bible. That's very important. And remember, in John 8:34 says, whosoever committeth a sin is the servant of sin. And that's the same thing as starting a new habit. Like if you go out and let's say you start drinking ketchup, and you just really like ketchup. There's something about it. It reminds you of a nice time in your life. And so every day you buy a bottle of ketchup and you start drinking it. Well, you could start a new sin. That's, you're addicted to ketchup. People can do things. That seems silly. But there are people who are addicted to silly things. When I was a young kid, I knew people who liked to do very dangerous things, like jump off the swings. And sometimes they got hurt when they did it. And so then they sort of thought it was fun because other kids sort of yelled, said, hey, yeah, that was a great thing. You jumped off the swing. And if you do that a lot of times, you'll get addicted to those habits. You know what? If you're saved from sin and saved from this world, you got to start asking yourself, am I really wanting to have righteousness in my heart? Or am I still looking just to please people and make them laugh and think I'm doing something great? Well, sometimes you may have to just put your head down and say, hey, I'm not going to get involved in this conversation at work. That's not something that God has put in my heart, and that's not something I want to be part of. And you have to put this away. I can tell you from my experience of working decades in a job that it's very hard when you hear people talking about all their things they did after they went to the bar and who they went home with and all this stuff, and they can just build that stuff up to where it's almost like a movie in everybody's mind. And there's no even a slightest bit of Holy Ghost in those people. And there's a slightest bit of a clean heart in some of those people that do that. But if you listen to it and constantly listen to it, it'll get in your heart. And later you may think about some of that thing. You may think, oh, maybe I could still go to a bar and go do something because I don't have a wife, and maybe I should go out and have a little fling or something like that. That's not what God wants you to do. You have to turn from those things and ask God to help you change your life and help you to become a better person. And our life is a little bit like a train. You get on a train and you sit down on that train, and then you know that there's an engineer that's running that train, and he's going to drive that train and stop it and start it when it needs to. And you know you can rest because you know that person's back up in the front of the train, maybe not back, but up in the front of the train, driving that train. And you've got people in the back in the caboose that are watching out for any other train so they can warn the person up front that there's a problem. And you just have to realize that God's taking care of us. And even if something bad happens, He can make it turn out for good. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." And in another verse, I don't remember the exact number, it says, "If you're a Christian, you are one of the called." And so that's very important. Let me mention Romans 8:28 again. "All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." Also, as far as being saved, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And there's another verse in Acts that says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of Jesus shall be saved." It's not hard to get saved. It's just a matter of doing it. And once you've done it, you're saved. Now, you may backslide or something like that, but you can lean on 1 John 1:9 that says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And you may worry a lot about whether you've done something wrong, or you may have dread about it. Well, there's another verse that I think is very important to me. God does not want us to have dread about anything. Unless it's like dread to stay away from a sharp edge, like a sharp knife, or a torn thing on your car, a bumper that's got a sharp edge, or the side of a mountain you know you shouldn't stand by. You should stay away from that. That's just common sense. But when you start getting dread, I'm going to read you a verse now, or I'm going to tell you the verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And most people translate that spirit of fear as dread. And it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." He doesn't want us to sit around fearing what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. If you have a bill you need to take care of, call the people and talk to them about your situation and ask them. If you have a car that's broken down, call and get some quotes on it. Don't just sit there thinking, "Oh my goodness, that tire's flat. That tire's flat. What am I going to do?" Actually, if you quit fearing and dreading, you'll know that you probably have a spare tire, and if you can't change it, you can get someone to come over and help you. One of your neighbors will probably do it. There are still a lot of people in the world that have some just a prevailing love and a prevailing grace in life, which means that they want to help people. They've been taught this. It's not completely gone. Now, there's a few people in this world. Some people call them narcissistic. They just want to take care of themselves. That doesn't always mean that those narcissistic people are bad, but there's a lot of us who are that way. We may not be labeled narcissistic, but there's a lot of people who don't care about anyone else but themselves. But it's very likely that there are people around that will help you when you need help. And you got to quit fearing things and ask God to help you. Just remember that when you get saved, you need to ask God to help you to be the kind of Christian you need to be. And remember, you have to, if you confess your sins and you confess it outwardly, it says we have to confess with our mouth. Romans 8, 9, and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, let me read that again. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Tune in next time and have a good day in Jesus' name.